Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the third episode of the World of Goldcraft. I'm your host, the Lazy Goldmaker from thelazygoldmaker.com, and I'm here to talk about goldmaking in World of Warcraft. So as usual, we'll start off with a little bit about how my week is gone in terms of goldmaking. So obviously I'm still very much focused on my gold cap challenge, and this week I had probably my best week ever, which was really nice. I almost managed 3 million gold in sales, which is amazing. And I managed to increase my liquid gold by 1 million gold, which is also pretty great. The major reason for the increased sales this week, I think, is just the fact that I'm very, very heavily into the material flipping market now. I sold and made a bunch of Darkmoon decks, which are still very profitable and they rake in a lot of gold. And I've been selling a large number of enchants as well throughout the week. And I've started dipping my toes into flipping flasks and battle potions. Now, as most of you probably know, I bought a bunch of battle potions before Uldir opened. And I've now completely sold out of those potions, which is really nice because I'd spent over a million gold on potions. And they're all now out in the back on the auction house and back onto the realm. And I made a couple of hundred thousand, so maybe 100, 200,000, not that much actually, because I sold my strength potions at a loss. But overall, I think I made some gold from that. That's very nice, and as I said I've started flipping some flasks and battle potions like inside the week, with the early results being pretty good, so this is something I'll definitely be writing a full guide to, because the market is looking pretty great. The general idea for flasks is you just buy them when they're cheap and then you post them in stacks of 2, 3, or 4, because those are the stack sizes that people are most likely to need for their raid, so that makes it really a great stack size to sell them in. And then battle potions, you'll probably sell them in stacks of 20 and 10, as the players will use a lot more of them. So that's sort of my challenge. BOE sales haven't started being a major factor yet. I haven't been able to find too many BOE deals, and when you don't have too many items posted, that's gonna limit the amount of sales you can get. So that's sort of it. So, probably the biggest news that happened this week is, of course, we started to get a look at what's coming in patch 8.1. We had a developer Q&A. I didn't actually watch that, but I've checked up on like the major changes in professions, which there are quite a lot of in the new patch that's coming. So that's something that you definitely want to keep an eye out for. So among the new things is, of course, we get a lot of new profession recipes, which is usual, and we'll go through some of them which are looking quite interesting and some of them which are not looking too interesting, to be honest. And there's a lot of changes to recipe costs. Mostly a lot of recipes that are having their material costs reduced. The most important one to everyone to notice is, of course, that there'll be reducing herb costs for all of the alchemy crafts by a lot. They're cutting the anchor bead costs across all of the flasks. They're cutting Riverbud and Siren's Pollen's amount for the mana potions and healing potions. So anchor weed will probably take a nosedive in price once we hit patch 8.1. They're reducing the amount needed from 5 to 3 for the rank 3 recipes, which is a lot. So definitely I would try to not sit on a large stockpile of anchor weed once we get close to 8.1, because that's going to be not particularly good. And the same goes for flasks. You don't really want to sit on a large number of flasks. So that's one thing. They're also reducing the cost of the Darkmoon deck. No. Not the Darkmoon deck, the enchants, the weapon enchants. They're reducing the Umber Shard costs, which is really nice, because Umber Shards are probably the hardest ones to get now. Or the ones that are sort of the weirdest price level, at least on my realm. It's mostly for the weapon enchants, which are the ones that have the highest cost in terms of Umbra shards. So that's, I think that's a good change actually, because the ratio is, feels a bit off for the weapon enchants right now. And then they're also adding a bunch of new crafts, and the most important one is they're adding a new level of crafted armor and weapons called Sinister Combatant, which is most likely going to be an upgrade over the Honorable Combatant gear. It's going to fill be available for all the same professions that can craft Honorable Combatant gear, and it's going to be available in all the same item slots. So like for every Honorable Combatant blacksmithing item you have available, you'll get a corresponding Sinister Combatant item to craft. I don't know the item level of these items yet, and we don't even know the crafting costs, so it's going to be interesting to see how they look. Hopefully they're at an item level where they are interesting to craft and sell, and player, you can hopefully get some, make some gold in this market. I find that the Honorable Combatant gear market is okay. You can make gold in that right now. There's not a lot of focus on it. So sale rates are not like that high, but profit margins are pretty decent, I would say. And then there's some other new items. You get a contract for the Honor Bound or 7th Legion, which might sell a bit, but like contracts are pretty much a dead market overall. And there's way too many Ultramarine and Crimson Pigments going around anyway. They're adding, of course, a new Vantus Ruin for the new raid, which is probably gonna sell. And then there's a new lure that you can use to increase your chance of catching Midnight Salmon, but it looks like it's bind on pickup, so it's not particularly interesting from a gold-making point of view. Enchanters get access to crafting a new pet, which will probably be popular because there are pet collectors out there. And then there's a new crafting reagent, which is bind on pickup. It's the Breath of Buonsamdi. It's probably a drop from the new Suldasar raid. It's probably used for some new crafts related to the raid. Like you have the high level bind on pickup epic BOEs that you can craft today using Sanguine cells from Uldir, and it's probably going to be something similar. At least that's how I expect it to be used. So that's about it for the new profession changes that we know of. Like the most important one by far is the Anchorweed change, which is actually going to have a very large impact on the market. Umbra shards will also probably go down a bit in price because they're used a lot less. There's a lot of changes to engineering that I didn't mention because they're not as important from a gold making point of view. But a lot of the engineering crafts are also having their crafting costs reduced, which might drive down the price of Monolith or a bit. It's hard to say because I don't actually know how well these items sell. And that's it. And they're not changing cooking, they're not changing any of the other professions, at least from the data we have data mined right now. So this is always new expansions or new patches are always exciting. I think we're probably going to see something similar to what has typically happened when new raids open, that by the time 8.1 rolls around, or at least by the time the raid related to 8.1 rolls around, consumable prices will have fallen quite a bit from the level where they're at right now, and you can probably make some gold flipping those if you buy them ahead of time and then sell them when the raid opens. So that's sort of what's happened with me and what's happened with like the game lately. So I thought I'd launch into my discussion point for this week, which is one that I get asked a lot. I get this question a lot, and I think it's something where I have sort of disagree with a lot of players on how much this matters or doesn't matter. So the question is, how much does your realm matter? And because there are a lot of players asking me, like, which realm should I choose if I want to make gold? And I don't think that question actually has a good answer. I've tried a lot of different realms, and there are certainly differences between them, but honestly, like, I couldn't be. You'll only tell those differences once you've started. There's no way to really know ahead of time, at least not that I've seen you. Maybe you could do some analysis using my spreadsheet. using the Undermine journal to check out, try to find sale rates. But at the end of the day, pretty much any like reliable, well-founded gold-making method will work across realms. Most of the markets I've been active in since I started gold-making, and especially since I started gold-making across multiple realms, most of them have worked on all realms. Like, I can find cheap battle pets and sell cheap battle and sell battle pets on all of the realms I'm actively flipping battle pets on. And I've flipped materials on almost all of those realms, and it's worked on all of them. And while I obviously make more gold on some of those realms than some of the other ones, that's more pretty much more due to the differences in variation of the DB of the market value on that realm compared to the region market value average. So I think that generally higher populations realms are easier to make gold on, in my opinion. Yes, there'll be a lot more competition, but you'll also have a lot more players willing to buy from you, and this matters a lot. Like, your items will sell much quicker on a large realm, and it'll usually make up for the increased competition, at least in my experience. You can, if you some markets are better on smaller realms, like battle pets. I definitely prefer flipping battle pets on medium to low population realms, as they have much better price levels and much larger variances in sort of what battle pets are available and which are not available, which is why I use those. Yeah, the main point is really to just play on the realm where you are. I would never choose like a main realm based purely on like this is the realm I can make the most gold on. If you're looking to flip on multiple realms, then there are arguments for pretty much all realm sizes. I know that like Ada, which is one of the richest players in the game, he's been flipping pretty much exclusively on the highest population EU realms, and he made a ton of gold in Legion from flipping BOEs. I flip battle pets on mostly lower population realms, and that works as well. It's more important really to be able to adapt to your realm and to have a community on your realm where you enjoy playing the game. And you're never going to get that if you just focus on which realm can you make the most gold on. You need to get to your realm and then start figuring out like which markets are oversupplied, which markets are undersupplied. And then you work on that, like, okay, there's a lot of players farming ore here, but there's almost no one crafting blacksmithing items. Well, that's certainly something you can take advantage of. You can get your ore really cheaply, and you can craft a lot of honorable combatant gear or model-hardened stirrups and hoof plates to get the players who are out in the world. Or maybe there's something else you can do. Maybe herbs are really cheap for some reason, and you can craft a lot of Darkmoon decks and make a lot of gold that way. These are the things you need to be open to. And one thing with like small realms, there are some pitfalls in that there's going to be much less available on the auction house. You may not be able to buy your materials, and a single player can really screw you over if they want to. And that's it's much easier to screw someone over on a smaller realm, because it's easier to manipulate the market if you have the means and the ability to do so. Whereas on a large realm, it's almost impossible for like one player to manipulate or control a single market, especially if you're talking about current expansion markets. Like someone will never be able to control the market for Vial of the Sands on a large realm, whereas if you're on a small realm, it's possible that someone could control the market. This means you may have to go out and actually farm materials for yourself, which is really annoying, at least in my opinion, because I hate farming. But these are the things you can only find out from being active. Like, you can't find this out from Undermine Journal, or maybe you can, but that's not going to be valuable anyway, because you need to learn by doing. You can't learn gold making by looking at spreadsheets. You have to... because that's not where the skill is. The skill is in executing. The skill is in looking at the market, making a TSM setup that fits the characteristics of that market, and then executing on that. And none of that is something you do in a vacuum. That's something you do in the game. You make some settings, you test it out on a small scale, and then it works or it doesn't work. If it works, then you try to figure out if you can scale it, and you start doing it very quickly. That's what I've been doing in flask flipping, for instance. I made some settings, I looked at some deals, and I decided to buy some flasks, and then I bought like 40 flasks maybe, and then a couple of days later I started selling them for 1,000 gold more than I bought them for. I'm like, okay, so it looks like the concept has been proven, and then I just started buying a lot of flasks and posting them, and then so far it's been working pretty well, as you can see from my from the latest update in my zero on my gold cap challenge on my blog, where I've sold 100 flasks so far, and I bought about 200 flasks. So it's looking like it's going to be profitable. But yeah, that's it. Like, focus on the fundamentals. Focus on learning gold making. Don't focus on details that don't matter to you right now. Oh, is my realm right or isn't it right? Who knows? Gold making is going to work on your realm because you're facing the same basic problem of World of Warcraft or the basic game. It's the same pressures. It's the same... It's the same incentives for every player on every realm. Like, there's gonna be farmers who don't care about their time and who sell their items for less than market value. There's going to be large variations of in supply and demand for items that have a variability in how they're used. There's going to be players who don't know the value of their items. That's just how it's going to be. And you can utilize these things. There's going to be players who do not want to craft because it's annoying and takes a lot of time. And just put all this together and start executing, learn from your mistakes, make some mistakes and learn from them, and then iterate, improve. That's more important than picking a realm, at least in my opinion, which is why I don't really put a lot of thought into it when I choose a realm. So I think... That's it for the discussion point today, and we're at the end of the episode. I would like to thank all of my patrons for supporting me and making the podcast possible. If you're not already reading me, you should check me out at thelazygoldmaker.com, where I write 3 times a week on gold making in World of Warcraft, including full guides and TSM settings. And if you want early access to the podcast and to all of my posts, you can get it by becoming a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. And I stream Tuesdays and Thursdays on Twitch at twitch.tv/lazygoldmaker. Thank you for following me today. I hope you have a very profitable week.